The Sefer Amidot, we're up to page Shinayin Vav. The Magen Midovna had been discussing this idea that when we pray, when we make blessings, so we arouse blessings from above. Being that our prayer affects the masses, so when we pray, we should be focused in our prayer on the general good. You'll notice that Shmona Esrei is all about the masses. For us Ashkenazim, right? Grant us all of Shemona Esrei is in the plural sense. We're davening about Klal Yisrael. Our sages said in Tractate Baba Kama, if someone prays for someone else, and in fact they need the same thing they're praying about for this other person, then his request, his needs are met first. The Talmud tells us a very interesting story. Rabbi Elazar Chalash, the great sage Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, who was a disciple of Rabbi Yochanan, the Amora who compiled the Jerusalem Talmud. So Rabbi Yochanan had one disciple who was his brother-in-law, Reish Lakish. We know the story. Rabbi Yochanan convinces him to come back and learn Torah, and then he learns by him, and then there's a disagreement between them, and Reish Lakish inadvertently hurts Rabbi Yochanan's feelings, and he pays for that with his life. Reish Lakish passes away. And then Rabbi Yochanan has another disciple, Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas. That's Rabbi Elazar in the Shas. And very often when we have stories in the Shas, they're quoted from Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Elazar in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Elazar is the disciple of Rabbi Yochanan. So the disciple, Rabbi Elazar, became ill. Al legabe Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan went to visit his disciple. Chazad avi kagani beveitafin. He saw that Rabbi Elazar was sleeping. He was resting in a dark house. Gal yei ledare. So Rabbi Yochanan just picked up his sleeve. Venafel nehora. And so then there was light. It says Rabbi Yochanan was extraordinarily beautiful, that his skin used to shine. Chazad avi kabachi Rabbi Elazar. Now that there's light, he sees Rabbi Elazar is weeping. He asked Rabbi Elazar, why are you crying? If it's because you feel like you didn't learn enough Torah. The Mishnah says, whether you do a lot or you do a little, Hashem looks at whether your heart was focused for heavens. Did you do the best you could? If you couldn't do more, so that's fine. We learn this from the sacrifices. It says, now, you could bring a sacrifice from flour. It says you could bring a sacrifice from birds. It says you could bring a sacrifice from animals. When it says the sacrifice from animals, it says rech mechoach. It's a pleasant smell up above, so to speak. So you think, okay, an animal cost me, an animal today, how much does an animal cost? About 7,000 shekel. It's very expensive, a few thousand dollars an animal. The smallest sheep you buy is a few thousand shekel. You can't find anything cheaper than that. So you figure, okay, that's okay. I've brought an offering. I've invested $1,000, $2,000. What about a bird? It cost me about $30. Is that... So the Torah uses the term rech nechach about a bird. What about a flower offering? That cost me about $1.50. It cost me about 4 shekel to buy all the flour. With the oil, 7 shekel. Does that get the title? Yes, the Torah uses the term rech nechach to tell us that in heaven... they are fond of, Hashem is fond of an offering even like that, and they all get the same term of Reach Nichoach. So the Mishnah says that's to teach us, what matters in heaven is not whether you did more or less. It matters, did you do the best you could? Was your heart focused for heavens? If your heart was focused for heavens, you did what you could. So then no one looks at you and says, you only donated 10 shekel, and the other guy donated 10,000 shekel. Doesn't matter. It has the same terminology as far as heaven's being pleased with a person. So Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Elazar, why are you crying? Is it because you didn't learn enough Torah? Well, the Mishnah tells us, if you learned a lot, if you learned a little, if you brought a big sacrifice or a small sacrifice, so long as your heart was for heaven, it's all equal. And if you're weeping because you're in such a dire state financially, not everyone merits to have the world become in this world. Not everyone merits to have it so good in this world. And if it's because you didn't have children, you've had a life without kids. You see what I have here? I'm holding the bone of my 10th son. Rabbi Yochanan buried all his children, his last son, after he lost all his 9 other children. His small son fell into a boiling vat and boiled to death before his eyes. And Rabbi Yochanan remained with one little bone from that child. That was all he had left from his 10 children. And even so, even though he suffered so much in his lifetime, he was a tremendous, tremendous sage. He was able to give to the masses. It didn't hinder his capacity to connect with people. On the contrary, he would carry that little bone around with him. And when he'd come to comfort people, he would show them, look, you can contend with hardship and life goes on. Look at me. Here I have this little bone. This is what's left of all my children. My last son died this way. And you move forward. You move on. So that was the great Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan comes to Rabbi Elazar and says, why are you crying? If it's over Torah, you did the best you could. If it's over your livelihood, not everyone merits to make a good parnasa. If it's over the children, what happened to your kids? Well, look, you can move on. Amar lei, so Rabbi Elazar answers him an interesting answer. He says, "Le'hayshuva devale ve'ara kabachina." I look at you. You just walk into the room, you pick up your sleeve, and there's light in the whole room. And I say, what an amazing human being. Just the thought that one day you will lie in the dust causes me to cry. That someone like you can one day pass from the world. But wait a second. Rabbi Yochanan was healthy, and Rabbi Elazar was sick and dead. So why is he crying over the idea that Rabbi Yochanan will one day pass away? Doesn't say in the Talmud. Amale al davadai kabachit. So Rabbi Yochanan says, over that, you can really cry about. That must be why you're crying. So they both started crying. Wait a second, what does that mean? Be'uze. So an explanation, says the Magen Midrash. Al derech Omer Rabbeinu Zichronam Livracha. You can understand this based on what our sages taught in the Medrash Rabbah. It says that Isaac and Rebecca couldn't have kids. Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem lenochach ishto. Yitzchak prayed to Hashem opposite his wife. So our sages explain. Yitzchak haya mitpalel al ishto, v'ishto haita mitpalelet alav. Yitzchak was praying over her, and she was praying over him. It says Yitzchak was sprawled out in one corner, and Rebecca was sprawled out in the other corner. Zeleshonam, this is what the Midrash says, Melamed shaya Yitzchak shatuach kan, Yitzchak was sprawled out in one corner, Vehishtucha kan, she was sprawled out in the other corner, Veomer, and Yitzchak said, we're on top of page 9 Zayin, Ribono shlonam, Master of the world, Kol banim shata notenli, Yiyum natzadeket hazo, all the kids you intend to give me should come from this pious woman. Afiam raken, she also prayed this way. Kol banim shata tid litenli, all the children you intend to give me, Yiyum natzadik hazo, should come from this pious person. That's the Medrash. So first of all, before we move on, we should notice something here. If there's one couple in Tanakh that we don't see them lovey-dovey, you don't see any connection between them. It's Yitzchak and Rebecca. He doesn't even pick her. It's Eliezer that picks her. And notice that the Chazal said that when they prayed, their prayer was a true expression of love. It wasn't only about Ribon Shom, I want kids. It was, let me merit to have kids with him. Let me merit to have kids with her. That's just a point we should notice. V'asgulanim shechet nizeh. The Magen Midrash says, why did they pray this way? Why did Yitzchak and Rivka pray this way? If one prays over someone else, but in fact, that person has the same need, he will get answered first. So Yitzchak was praying for Rebecca, and Rivka was praying for Yitzchak. And really, each one needed the same need. But by praying for the other, they ended up getting their request. Ken devo Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar. The same thing happened when Rabbi Yochanan visited Rabbi Elazar. Natan Rabbi Elazar datar litpalel al Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar looks at Rabbi Yochanan, he says he's an old man. He could pass away any day now. He starts crying and praying over Rabbi Yochanan. He's not praying over his own needs. Validechen yaneh Hashem lakimo mecholyo. And that's a good way to get his needs answered because he's praying over someone else. Rabbi Yochanan evin zot, and Rabbi Yochanan understood that. V'amalu al davadai kabachit. He says, yeah, over that you're for sure davening. It's an onama. What he means to say is, alecha kavanatcha lo ala. Yeah, you're praying about me. Yeah, right. You're praying over me because you want to get better. V'afach Rabbi Yochanan panav litpalel al Rabbi Elazar, and then Rabbi Yochanan turned to a corner and started praying over Rabbi Elazar. Uvachut Avayu, they were both praying together, crying and praying together. So he gives a brand new pshat in that Gemara. But if we think about it, so at first glance, it seems like it's a trick, it's a gimmick. I need something, so I'll pray over you. But the truth is that to pray, you have to have intent. To pray isn't just to give lip service. And very often, when a person has a need, the last thing they can do is pray for someone else. When something is bothering a person, they are so focused on what they need, what's bothering them. They have a hard time seeing anyone else. You see it sometimes in hospitals. You can have a bunch of people waiting in the same room. They're all waiting for the same procedure. They all have the same fears, the same needs. How many people are worried about the next guy? And how many people can't talk to the next guy? They can't look at the next guy. To pray over someone else, even as a gimmick, takes a certain element of greatness. Even if I'm doing it for me, but I care about him. Can I care about him? Then I merit having my needs answered first. So Rabbi Elazar is doing it, and yes, to some degree his intent is that he needs to be healed. But he has the greatness that he could also pray about Rabbi Yochanan. And with that, we concluded the third chapter of Sha'ar HaTefillah.